How did I miss that?
Leaving my reading glasses somewhere, and I believe this is the Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting for Tuesday, July the 6th. That's what it looks like right here. Thank you all for coming, and while the police are here, I want to just say, I said this earlier in transportation, thank you all, and public services back there, I see Andy, and fire, everybody, just the display of teamwork and professionalism for the 4th of July was amazing in the Patriots Point area. And I don't know what the final head count was, but it was a huge crowd that came out to see it. So thank you all very much. Our agenda is published before you. Item number 2 is approval of the minutes from the May 3rd meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Item number 3 is public comments. If you're here from the public and you'd like to make a comment, please come to the lectern, give your name and address, and you'll have 2 minutes. Anybody? All right, we will move on to item 4, police matters, employee years of service recognition. Chief Arnold.
Good morning, Mayor, committee members.
Good morning.
Today we have the opportunity to recognize one of our employees for 20 years of service. Nan, please come forward. Nan Greer started with the town in 1997 in the police department supply office. That's a very important office for us. It keeps us all equipped and running and operable, and where she worked until December of 2003. She did an absolutely fantastic job in this role. Due to family reasons, she had to separate from the department, but in 2007, she resumed her employment with the town in the HR department for a short stint. An opportunity came open for her to come back to the police department in 2008, where she came back as a grants coordinator. She has worked on a variety of special projects over the years and done a fantastic job. In the last 6 years that I was the support services captain, I worked directly with Nan on our department grants. And every year, without exception, I would receive a letter or an email from the grant folks in Columbia praising her for her performance on department's grants. So, Nan, thank you for keeping me on track in the department's grants so well run. You've done a fantastic job. Thank you for 20 years of exceptional service, and look forward to many more years.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that was item 4A. Item 4B is discussion and possible action regarding Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances, Chapter 94, parades, demonstrations, public assemblies, and picketing.
So in reviewing the ordinances, I was concerned about the exceptions. One of the exceptions, which was is quite old, it was passed in 2002, allows for exceptions to the entire permitting process, but also the entire section, for spontaneous events occasioned by news or affairs coming into the public knowledge, where 3 days of such public assembly, provided that the organizers thereof give notice to the town at least 24 hours for a parade. My concern is protests, and the way protests evolve now is very different than the way they were then. And so the use of social media, the 24-hour news cycle, basically an individual could make an argument that this entire chapter is not applicable. That's how they organize. They can do it within literally hours and have a very large protest. So my recommendation was to remove this from the ordinance. There is still, under the application, the town administrator still has the authority to waive timelines in terms of filing and for protesting. Totally support the First Amendment, totally support people's right to protest, but given the way in which protests evolve and are organized now and on social media, I think this opens this up to a significant protest that we really don't have much enforcement capacity with. So the recommendation would be to repeal this or remove it.
that ocean sound effect we have put in.
I think that's my mic.
Here, try that. Yes, you have four.
Is there a slide or something that shows what that language is that we would like to remove, or what the actual language is?
I do not have a slide.
Some sort of information.
I can certainly share this with you.
Okay.
Along those lines, I'll ask Mr. Pagliarini, are we at the point where action by this committee today could result in a vote of first reading next Tuesday, or what would our process be? If we agree in principle, how do we?
Yes, Mayor, we'd be prepared with an ordinance for council to address next Tuesday unless this committee wanted to have another period of time to think about it or consider.
And it would require two readings?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right. A question I have is, would something like a good thing, a happy thing, you know, like when you see a national championship or something like that and people start celebrating, I guess technically that is also a protest, even though it's not an angry protest, right? It's a celebration.
Right.
But any large public gathering like that could affect traffic, public safety, or anything, it all falls under that.
Right. So the language in that exception is very broad, and in my mind, it's too broad. If we remove that, the town administrator still has the option to review it, so and make a determination on whether or not to allow it to move forward. So whether it's a happy occasion or a protest or something like that, 24 hours is extremely short notice to organize any kind of response to keep the citizenry safe and overseeing a protest.
Right. And as we have learned too, and those of us up here that haven't made a profession of law enforcement, there's safety for those participating as well, not just for the general public of what may happen or to property.
Absolutely.
The people participating in that need security also, because there might be opposing views.
Counter protests are very common nowadays. So
right.
In order to ensure everybody's safety, we need a little bit more than 24 hours. I just believe the language in that is extremely broad.
Okay. And Mr. Moore, this would also have in there that you could waive that.
That's correct.
Given y'all's communication, your judgment, your advice on safety for the protesters and
that's correct.
Everybody else, okay, the general public. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Do we know why this exception was placed into the code in 2002?
Ms. Whitley, Chief brought this to my attention. We discussed it and we looked back at this. I couldn't find anything as to the reason for it. It appears that this has been carried over for some time. Just my reading of it indicates exactly what the mayor said. I mean, these spontaneous, well, I think there's two parts to it. First, when this was drafted, we don't have the level and speed of communication that we did. And as Chief suggested, these things are now organized online and suddenly, but I agree with the mayor that there was an element of things such as positive things happening as well, parades, events, things of that nature that were spontaneous. So but that's basically my reading into why this was written this way.
It could have been a reaction to something after 9/11.
Yeah.
In 2001, like a patriotic display or something like that, however well-intentioned, still has public safety aspects.
Well, sorry, go ahead. I guess my only concern would be that there would still be an avenue for when something timely occurs if there were to be a gathering, our right to assemble. You know, we have a right to assemble. We want to do that in a safe way, but we want to have a you know, the hurdle to that to not be burdensome. And I'm not sure, I'm not familiar with, you know, the federal case law of what a reasonable restriction would be on right to assemble.
We have reviewed that, Ms. Whitley. I believe that it would be appropriate as long as any reasonable permit, it does not need to be instantaneous. I think there's a significant body of law out there that that the, in this case, municipality can take public safety elements into consideration for preparation. So I really don't have concerns about that.
Thank you so much.
Remind me, is there a threshold, like if it's 10 people, it's not an assembly, if it's...
Yes, Mayor, it's 50 people.
50 is what I was...
So 50 people, we have small protests that people will stand outside of a business or a location, provided it's less than 50 people, they don't have to do the permit.
Right.
My concern is the bigger, more violent protests.
Right. For instance, we've all seen not far from here where a federal elected official has an office. There's been sidewalk demonstrations, but it's 5-6 people. This won't inhibit that type thing at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it.
All right. Okay. Any other questions? Do we want to have a motion coming out of this committee? Do we want to think about it and bring it back next month or what?
I'm comfortable moving to recommend that we update the Code of Ordinances as recommended by Chief Arnold.
All right. That's a motion.
It's a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it's unanimous. So that will be brought to council for first reading on Tuesday. Chief, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very, very relevant leadership there. Yeah. All right, number five is judicial matters, another employee years of service recognition.
Good morning, Mayor, committee members.
Good morning.
This morning, it's my pleasure to recognize Tanya Stobbs for 15 years of service as a judge with our municipal court. Judge Stobbs has the responsibility of adjudicating cases ranging from traffic violations, minor alcohol and drug violations, parking violations, town ordinances, and code violations. Judge Stobbs is also on call once every 5 weeks to sign off on search warrants and arrest warrants from the police department. As a judicial officer, Judge Stobbs interprets the law, all while showing compassion and understanding for those who appear before her in the courtroom. Judge Stobbs is a true professional, as she maintains fair and impartial attitude and upholds the integrity of the court. While on the bench, Judge Stobbs aims to educate first-time teenage traffic offenders. She does so to encourage them to slow down. She asks that they research and write a paper on the number one cause of teenage deaths. The aim here is for these young students to gain a better understanding of the responsibility and potential dangers of driving. I feel very fortunate to work with Judge Stobbs, and on behalf of the town, I would like to thank you for 15 years of service and dedication.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Item 6 is legal matters. 6A, discussion and possible action regarding the renewal of a lease agreement with Charleston County regarding the Wilden Street Library.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the committee, I'd like to introduce Josette Brooksbank. Josette comes to us from USC, the University of Southern California. And the Charleston School of Law. She is our clerk this summer, okay. And she will be presenting this item to you.
Thank you.
That's not USC.
Fight on.
Hi. Okay, so I'm going to introduce a renewal of a lease at 430 Whelan Street for a public library. So the original lease back in 2016, it was for a period of 5 years, and it contained a renewal clause where upon written notice from the library, they could request renewal for another 5 years subject to town's approval. So under South Carolina Code 5740, the council is allowed to lease property affected by an ordinance. And so in 2016, they approved this under ordinance number 16106. And additionally, under South Carolina Code 57260, today you're able to approve a renewal through a resolution instead of having to make another ordinance. And this is a copy of what the Charleston County Public Library sent the town, and they have given their written notice that they would like to renew this lease for another 5 years.
Great.
Thank you. Move to approve the renewal.
We have a motion to approve renewal of the lease
Second.
Of the library on Wilding Street. Wilden Street in a second. Any discussion? Yes, sir.
How much do they pay us?
It's
$5 a year?
Yes. Yeah. But they manage, handle small repairs, maintenance. They run it, keep the building going. We would take on major structural things if necessary.
Any other comments? All right, we have a motion and a second to approve. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Item B, presentation on the status of Pageant's Lane removal from the town road system.
I'll just briefly introduce, you all know Attorney John Dodds. Several months ago, this came before committee. The group of citizens who live on Pageant's Lane have requested and started the process to remove Pageant's Lane from the town as a town right-of-way and essentially make it a private road. This committee heard that. Mr. Dodds has been retained by the group, and he has come up with a plan. There's no vote necessary today, but this is meant for your feedback and consideration. Ultimately, if they decide to move forward, there would be a petition filed with the court, and the town would be in a position to agree, disagree in whole or in part. And I believe Mr. Dodds agrees that it would be beneficial, should they move forward, to have everyone in agreement and understanding the situation prior to any litigation that would at least be costly to the citizens as well as the town.
Great. Mr. Dodds, it's a pleasure to see you.
It's nice to see you.
May I distribute it?
I've got a flat.
Yes, yes.
I just did a flat so you folks could kind of see what Pageant's Lane looks like. And I did some aerial photos to kind of give you a feel there for where exactly it is.
Thank you.
We very much appreciate the opportunity to appear, and with town council's continuous input, we really appreciate it. I represent four residential property owners who residential properties abut Pageant's Lane, two of whom are present today, Jim Berg and Joanne Kirkland. If you look at the plat I gave you, Pageant's Lane is a approximately 50 foot wide by approximately 70 feet deep cul-de-sac, which abuts four separate residential property owners. James and Helen Berg, Adam Roach's company, a company called Big Life LLC, Joanne Kirkland, who's here, and Shireen McGrath, who was unable to appear. These four residential property owners' only means of access from Wilden Road is Pageant's Lane. And as you know, notwithstanding considerable efforts by town council to minimize any effect of the development of the Hibben Inn, which is relatively catty-cornered from Pageant's Lane, the property owners have some real concerns about possible safety issues with non-residents, particularly staying at the inn, who may choose to find parking right across the street as opposed to the parking which council has mandated upon the developers of the Hibben Inn. What our plan is, Mr. Mayor and members of council, ultimately we're going to ask the council to abandon its property interest, its right of way in this cul-de-sac area to the property owners. And the property owners have already had me prepare proposed articles of organization to form a homeowners association consisting of the four properties that abut Pageant's Lane. Part of that process will be to record restrictive covenants as to the Pageant's Lane property, so as to make it essentially common area subject to the existing utility easements and drainage easements. Those won't be affected in any way. The responsibility for the maintenance of Pageant's Lane would become that of the association, which is going to be comprised of the four residential properties that abut Pageant's Lane. There's going to be a mechanism for the imposition of assessments on an annual basis to create a capital fund, if you will, to subsidize any improvements which may become necessary, whether it be paving, maybe a bit of landscaping, certainly some signage, you know, that sort of thing. In my discussions with town council and in reviewing some of the minutes from the transportation subcommittee meeting, I know there was some concerns about access by emergency vehicles, police vehicles, EMS, fire if necessary, etc. The document that I prepared with regard to the restrictive covenants specifically addresses that and provides access to all of those emergency personnel, fire department, police department, etc. So this, by way of introduction, ultimately we're going to have to file a lawsuit. We're going to have to identify the Department of Transportation as a defendant in that case, the town of Mount Pleasant. It would be the only way it's going to happen ultimately is with the consent, if you will, of the town of Mount Pleasant. The highway department, I think, is going to inure to whatever the decision of the town is. So we think it's a good thing. We it's not the sort of thing that's going to, I think, drastically impact anyone in the town other than these four property owners. The common area will get a we'll record a plat. It'll get a TMS number. It'll generate taxes to whatever extent to the town, and it'll alleviate the burden of the town, you know, maintaining that area as a public right-of-way. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. The thought about the covenants and the HOA was to make it to where it is binding on any subsequent grantee, any subsequent owner of the property would take that property subject to those recorded covenants and restrictions, which mandate the availability to emergency vehicles, which mandates the annual assessment to pay for capital improvements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's a good plan. Hopefully it's one that you also think is a good plan. And again, this is preliminarily, and just appreciate the opportunity to appear before you. Happy to answer any questions you have, but thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. And Mr. Pagliarini, I believe it's been a while, but council approved moving forward on this?
Well, sir, the committee heard, there was really no vote, but the understanding at that point was that the homeowners would retain counsel, and they've done so. This is an intermediate step. When Mr. Dodds and his group are ready to move forward, we'll obviously bring Mr. Morrison in and anyone else at the town that needs to review, fire chief, police chief, all of those key people, and then we'll bring it to this committee, potential executive session if necessary, and then ultimately potentially to council for some decision on the matter.
And when we mention having to file a lawsuit, there's no other way to do this, right?
No, sir. I know a lawsuit.
This is not a bad thing. This is not a failure of.
Right. I call it a petition.
Right.
And the state code sets up a scenario for this, and Mr. Dodds explained it perfectly that we the town have the opportunity to object in part or in full. There could be negotiating items, but again, it is in everyone's interest, should the town wish to move forward, at least to have those items nailed down prior to filing any
right.
petition.
Right. So the suit won't be brought, the petition won't be brought unless, council believes that it's in the best interest of the citizens. So
right.
That's why we wanted to kind of give you a breakdown of how they propose to proceed, how they intend to pay for it, and how it's going to be binding not only on these folks, but on whoever they sell their property to.
Right.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, David.
All right. There's no action required. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Talk about emergency vehicles. Another question would be like utilities who use the town's right of way, water, sewer, cable.
Right.
How does that work?
Yes, sir. As Mr. Dodds mentioned, the articles, the document that he drafted, those would remain in place. Those easements remain in place. And as part of their covenants, obviously, they'd have to remain, provide access.
I just know a lot of times they don't have official easements.
So those easements, if you take a look at the flat, you can see that where there is, there are exist, there's an existing 12-foot utility easement in the back, and then there's a 12-foot drainage easement as well. So those are already a matter of public record, and those cannot be affected through whatever process we decide to do. Only so that is in favor of the utility companies, in favor, I suspect, of the town of Mount Pleasant with regard to the drainage issue. So those will not be affected. They'll be incorporated as part of the public record.
Great. Good Great. Question.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mr. Pagliarini, too. Appreciate it. That brings us to item 6C. Has to do with the Department of Engineering and Development Services.
Yes, Mayor, and committee, you may remember 2 months ago where we had a long string of ordinances that changed some titles and some department responsibilities. This is just a trailing item related to the Department of Engineering and Development Services related to a title. And so all it is correction of a title. That's it. But Mr. DeFord is here to present what the ordinance is going to look like, as well as any questions.
Good morning, Mayor, members of the committee. This is just an amendment to Chapter 42 under the Department of Engineering and Development Services to include to provide a clarification of the building official, also known as the building inspector's responsibilities. I have copies of the proposed amendment if you'd like to see it.
Move to approve.
Have a motion. Second? I have a motion and a second on that. Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much.
Mayor, that's all I have. I would note for this committee especially, and all of council, our Board of Zoning Appeals meeting this month is fairly packed with some relevant appeals, and you'll be receiving some notice and information from legal about those coming up in approximately 3 weeks.
Correct. You're talking about a regular monthly meeting, right? It's not a special meeting.
Yes, sir. This is a regular BOZO. We just have a substantial number of appeals that we've been updating you on, and some of them are coming to BOZO. It just seems to all be happening this month.
All right. Anything else? All right. This committee stands adjourned.
Thank you. Listen.